up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sun.
Well, okay, it's Dr. Jax. I'm tonight's Mr. Matt Weber of the board. We also have Mr. Kevin O'Neill. S&P futures down a $1.50. Dow futures down 16. NASDAQ futures down $1.75. Oil down 64 cents. That's a whole percent. This is ahead of the Fed decision today. We'll see what happens there. We went for a long time where you could not be short. Anything the Fed said, you couldn't be short. And then when Jay Powell took office, it was sort of the other way. Until he saw the light, like Belushi with a nun smacking him with the ruler, only the wasn't a nun, it was Trump and some of the people on TV. So he turned, and we'll see if he's totally... Now we're talking about a rate cut. I have no idea what even why these guys are even thinking about something like that, but... That would just be me, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm thinking of running out and getting an adjustable mortgage right now because I know it'll cut down.
Well, let's put when you were convinced how successful it was the last time you did this, even though if you looked at it with any sort of a jaundiced eye, you would say all we did was help a few people and hurt other people. The thought of going down that road again, especially when you've changed all the definitions of everything and you still use them, I don't know when I've seen anything quite like this, just in terms of definitions and changing the field and changing everything, but that's what they're doing. Did you catch this? Anyway, I'm going back and forth on this Lion Air thing. Are you starting to sense, Kevin, that maybe there's not as much feedback from pilots to these airlines, that the pilots kind of... When something goes bad and they save it, they think it's their fault and don't tell anybody or something? This thing
well,
come out?
That would be kind of wrong.
Yeah. Well, do you believe now it's just coming out that the Lion Air jet that went down, there was a guy who was in the jump seat that saved it the day before? Did you read that?
No, I didn't read that.
Evidently, the plane that went down, some guy was deadheading, so evidently there wasn't a seat, so they put him in the jump seat, which they'll do for other pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing starts doing whatever it does, and the pilot is having all kinds of trouble controlling it, and the guy goes, something like, I've been through that, let me show you what to do, and talk the guy through it.
That's kind of nice, but yes, that's, if somebody didn't speak up, shame on somebody. And look, successful manufacturing companies allow people on the line to stop the line when there's a problem.
Well, remember when the thing first crashed, they said that there was some reports of, the flight before had some problems, and they had inspected it. This is the Lion Air one.
So this is the incident. Huh?
Yeah, this is the incident. Evidently, that's bizarre.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts when things are preventable.
I know it is. It's one thing. What do they call them in tennis? It's sort of like a self-inflicted
error.
Yeah, it's like a self-inflicted wound. It's like, it's whatever. It's like having too much of a drink and like running through your garage door or something, type of thing.
Well, and one of the things, you chuckle in the background there, Maddie, like you've done it.
not quite.
Okay. Just merely put a couple of dents in it.
Yeah, just a dent or two. Looks better that way.
You would, if that's the case, then you would start asking yourself culture questions. Remember, it's probably been 2 years now maybe three since the they dragged that guy off of the United Express flight at O'Hare.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at that whole situation and talk about, you know, knocking people off of the airline, there were so many other ways that the employees on site could have, you know, dealt with the situation. Anything ranging from, you know, hey, let's go see if we can find some open seats on another airline's flight to Louisville so we can get our crew down there.
Yep.
And without bumping off our customers, to, you know, rent a car,
yeah.
rent a van, and drive the, and let the crew drive down there because it's only going to take them, you know, how long does it take to cross the state of Indiana? 4 or 5 hours?
It's a beautiful ride.
You know, barely longer than flying would take them.
Yeah.
So, you know, my point being that was so preventable on so many levels, it never needed to get to the part where they were dragging the guy off of the airline. But somehow, the people on site didn't feel like they had any authority to address it, any ability to address it. They weren't encouraged to address it. Whatever the problem was just, it's just there, kind of baked into the culture of how the company operates. Well, you know, maybe we have the same thing with pilots. You know, maybe they, I don't know if they feel like it falls on deaf ears, if they feel like, they're not supposed to speak up. If you do speak up, then people, there's punishment for it. I don't know what could be going on there, but if that's the case, then I would start asking all those kinds of questions, because if people are systematically not speaking up when there are serious problems,
well, it was a weekend. It was like last morning where the Ethiopian thing went down. I spent some time, because it was pouring rain. Well, it does rain. That's why there's flooding all over the damn place. I was going through this stuff, and I know it was after I had my discussion with Lou, because Lou was, you know, obviously taking the other side of the story. And I went through, and there were these couple of guys from American, of course, that didn't saw their names, and they were talking about how they had taken off. All of a sudden, this started to happen, and they flipped the autopilot off, and they did kind of what they were supposed to do. When they landed, he and the co-pilot sat there for like an hour going through their pre-flight checks and something, and their immediate instinct was that they had done something wrong and they had missed something. So essentially means that if they would have reported it, somehow somebody would have come back with a big ruler and cracked them upside the head and said, you forgot, you know, item 48 on the checkoff list, you know, what, do you want to get suspended or what? So, I mean, you could just sense from the guy's wording that was their attitude. Their first thought was that they had done something wrong.
I think it's healthy for them to, to have the ability to say, you know, to have done something wrong, really, is I guess where I'm going. I think it's healthy for them to say, yeah, we did something wrong. This is something that we need to, you know, we need to share out to all other pilots to make sure you do it right. Not, we're going to suspend you or wrap you on the knuckles. Now, we're just, you know, I'm not saying that is what the case is. I'm not.
No
there,
matter.
So
yeah.
I don't know.
No, you're supposed to, Kevin.
That would be my questions from the outside looking in, as I'm going to start saying, okay, what's going on with the culture here? I would start asking that. If they hired me as a consultant to look over the situation, I'd start asking those kind of questions, and maybe the answers will come back in a strong affirmative. Oh, no, we do encourage them. Nobody gets in trouble. You know, all those kinds of things, the things that you'd want to be happening.
First of all, if you're going to wear it with that attitude, you'll never be hired.
Then I won't get hired. I won't get hired to do a crappy job somewhere. I'm fine with that.
You're just because I know sometimes. Well, sometimes most of the times whatever I'm trying to say doesn't land at what I'm trying to say. I get that part. I mean, I think I'm getting worse at it, for God's sake. But I just, my sense this week, Kevin, and I've been trying to have a theme, and you know, I'm getting a lot of blowback from people, and I understand that. But my experience level, such as it is, it's been sort of small, but it's been very pointed. I mean, when my years on the board of the CBOE, when I saw the industry starting to change, and a lot of, essentially when the distribution system became the customer, essentially became you know, started to run the penitentiary, and those were the guys that were most likely to cheat on the rules, but because they could now play one exchange off against another, there really was, the regulators lost their ability to regulate. it became a size thing. I mean, I remember sitting on a board with, I want to say Merrill Lynch was there for a while. Smith Barney was there, a lady from Smith Barney was there. Dean Witter, Morgan Stanley, Dean Witter. There was another guy from Morgan Stanley from the floor who was on there. And I think one of the other retail firms, it was either, might have been Merrill Lynch or somebody. And when it became obvious that firms were doing a lot of crossing, which they weren't supposed to do, those kinds of things, or favoring one customer against another, I have both sides of this trade, I'm going to pay up. Market could be a quarter, three-eighths. I'm going to pay a half. If you guys want to participate at a half, I'll give you like 30%. You can have 50 apiece or something. In other words, bring people in on the ripoff. And, but I mean, it was at a point, Kevin, where the lady who was in charge of Market Reg, who was, I won't say anything bad, let's say, wouldn't have been my choice. But she would go after any member, like White on Rice. There was absolutely zero chance that she would ever walk into a board meeting, put it on the agenda, and say, this has started to occur on the floor since these things have become competitive with other exchanges. We're seeing four or five member firms that are absolutely off the chart and crossing stuff all over the damn place, and it looks to me like they're paying up, they're trading through markets, and this absolutely has to stop, or we're gonna go right to the SEC with it. With three of those people in the room at the board level, it absolutely could not happen, Kevin. The lady would lose her right leg before she would do that, or anybody would let her do that. You reach a point where people cannot be quote regulated; they can't get spanked. And I honestly believe that with Boeing chasing your Airbus a year behind these more efficient engines and those kinds of things, than with the 737, there was absolutely no way, no ability for the FAA to say, wait a minute, you're a little too fast with this. You know, you got to put somebody at least in the simulator. It's enough of a big change from the last 737 that what you're telling these people, you can jump the same pilot in there as you could for a 737-400. No, you can't. It's too big of a change. And we want, you know, 20 hours of simulator time. We want something. You know what I'm saying there? It can't happen. And I think that's a real weakness. I feel the same way about the Fed right now. It would be a weakness, Tom.
I'm not willing to say it can't happen because I don't know the industry.
I'm not, so you know what, Kevin, I'm not close.
You're right to say that you've had that experience in the past in a regulatory environment. I have too. But before I am willing to definitively say that that's the case, here, I'd like to know it.
I'm trying to say that
the culture could be different. It could be possible. You know, it is possible that pilots, because of what they do and who they are taken much more seriously than the average schmuck, and because human safety is at stake. So I don't know that. You know, I don't know one way or the other. And so I think we're having a hypothetical discussion.
How about if I end it this way by saying, it would be a very special person, and he'd have to have serious backing from the person who put him there, which can happen, by the way. I mean, you're right. I mean, I don't know the absolute, but my point is, we have a company that has gotten way, way too big. I mean, they're by far our biggest exporter. They probably are single-handedly put both sides back in their place on the aisle about wanting to stop the Export-Import Bank, because how much of that place is to buy Boeing products? Well, you don't hear anybody bitching about that anymore, do you?
No. On the other hand, Tom, how much power does the pilots union have?
I don't think they thought it was the American pilot. I think the American pilots had the same attitude that what's his name? Our man Lou had, that we can handle it.
Well, if they do, then they get to share the fault with Boeing, don't they?
Well, I'm saying those little things, they say, you know, if that happens, we'll find, it may be heard about it from another guy, how to deal with it. But I'm saying in general that the whole attitude about this plane is, the beauty of it is, at Southwest, is we don't have the coloring problem I'm always talking about. You know, you don't get United, how many times do you think United gets an air crew, shows up at some place and they go, oops, that's a 777, I only fly 767s. It doesn't happen at Southwest. And I'm going to bet, I would bet $1, Mortimer, that Southwest was told that this plane fits right in with that group. And I'm starting to think maybe it doesn't. or it's pretty not quite the same. Maybe you need, not like the same guy can't do it, but maybe not without a few hours in the simulator. All I'm saying is it's very rare in our lifetime that you see a head of a spot. Look at the FEMA guy after New Orleans. He just quit. He wasn't a Lion. I mean, look what they're doing to this Fed guy. I mean, he's not like a Volcker who stands up in a 6-7 and says, screw you guys, I'm doing it my way. He didn't do that. He changed his whole policy. I mean, I don't think that they're getting the backing, Kevin. I don't. Something's weird. I mean, you and I talk all the time. I mean, sometimes it's you, sometimes it's me, about the bureaucracy, the people's mistrust of it is because it's becoming incompetent. Can they really regulate Commonwealth Edison here? No, I don't think so. I don't think the state of Illinois has that ability.
Right, so the question becomes, can they not regulate it because they're incompetent, or can they not regulate it because they're corrupt, or is it both?
Both.
And, you know, I think those are fair, really legitimate questions to ask in all of these cases. But, you know, some of that is because of, you know, pervasive lack of ethics, and some of that is because of, you know, relative power, and some of it is just the incompetence of a bureaucracy.
You know what, Kevin? I'm going to take this back. I don't do this very often. When you say corrupt, and I said yes, I'm going to say like everything. Have you ever been at any time of our life where anytime somebody gives you a word, you have to say, wait a minute, define is, like President Clinton? I'm not going to say. Matter of fact, I absolutely won't say. I'm not going to say that the ICC here is being paid by Commonwealth Edison. I honestly don't think they are. What I think is they're constantly in their face with people who make sense, people who are well-dressed, good-looking, beautiful women, well-dressed. They're always in their face saying, you know, what really comes down to now, we're buying power from other people and blah, 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 and people can go get their own hour. What we really have now is a delivery system and where we get the power and so forth. So one of these days, you know, it's all going to be, somebody's going to have solar, somebody's going to have this, but they're still going to be connected to us. And the bottom line is, Kevin, in the last 8 years, the connection charge for my gas is more than what my gas used to be. Now, but it's just that you're there. I knew guys that were lobbyists when I was in grad school, and they were in the insurance industry. And I said, well, you know, lobbyist is kind of a dirty word. I said to the guy, he goes, you know, most of the guys we go see don't even know how the insurance industry works. If we sit down and we just explain, here's a bill, you wrote this clause in there. By the way, it harms us, doesn't seem to really help anybody else, which I'm sure does happen. He goes, it's an education process. He goes, the other side is free to come in and sit down. But by and large, sometimes they write stuff on these bills, there isn't even another side. It's just a dumb piece they put in there. You find out about it, and you go and you sit down and talk and say, hey, this is really going to hurt us, and I don't know who the hell you're helping, but it's hurting us. It's not. I mean, but the fact is, you get so familiar with people. I mean, I got to the point where I don't think the New York Stock Exchange brought a check or a bag of cash like Chicago to the SEC people. I just think they got so familiar, and they were, you know, together so much that. It just becomes natural, Kevin. I mean,
it becomes kind of an incestuous point of view.
Yes. But I won't say that's corrupt. I don't think it's healthy, but I won't say it's corrupt.
Well, okay, and I'm on board with that distinction. I have no problem at all with that distinction. I also think, however, though, that you will, I like that, you know, those two together just yeah. really work for me. I think that you do find a lot of legal contribution money that finds its way into campaigns and has undue influence as well, and that's a different problem.
Well, I don't think. How far do you go?
So, is it corrupt? I think so. Is it legal? Yeah, I think so.
Well, I mean, where do you think if you started running? I mean, Kevin's become, you know, you're getting there, bud. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if somebody didn't tap you for a state rep or something. What level do you think?
Board.
Probably a U.S. representative. At what level do you get your first check from Boeing? It's got to be early in the process.
Depends on whether my opponent's getting his first check from Boeing.
Well, I mean, but I mean, they're going to support both of you, especially if there's your chance to win. You don't think the law firms in Chicago are giving money to both sides in this mayoral election?
Yeah, well, that's true. Yes, you got to hedge that bet.
But you may have your favorite.
Have to hedge that bet. So I have to work on my technique. You know, if I can jump up on a table, for instance, am I electable?
Depends. If you got to use like steps to get up there, probably not. If you like the fridge, you can hop up there.
at my age, compared to Beto O'Rourke's age, yeah, I think I need the steps, and he didn't.
I think the Democratic Party actually has some people with spunk, but I think they're all way down the experience chain to be president right now. When you're going up against people like, you know, Putin and people like that have been around a real long time. I think you need a little more experience.
How many more years does Bernie need, Chief?
Not Bernie. I mean, a couple of other years.
He's only been doing it for 50.
No, Bernie has his other...
Bernie won't go up against Putin, and he is Putin. He's going to say, can we copy your economy?
Yeah. It's a... I'm saying there aren't a whole lot of people that are... I'm going to say John Kennedy was young, but it was a time when people didn't live as long. And also, with all those guys who went away to World War II and came back, I'm going to say the average guy or lady, for that matter, was overseas, won a war, and came back at age 23, probably was going on 35 today, wouldn't you say, Kevin, in terms of world experience?
Yeah, probably.
The idea that...
Certainly from a perspective standpoint, there's still the... You know, it's funny, a student brought this up in a class last evening. The same thing, you know, how does it seem? Because I always ask them, you know, what would you like to learn about management? This is a first day question because we had first day of class last night. By the way, you know, my classes, you know, I was really proud of the things I incorporated. I had a clip from The Three Stooges, a clip from The Simpsons, a clip from Silence of the Lambs. I had a clip from, I'm missing one. Oh, and a rotary dial telephone.
Which one did you have for The Stooges? I like the one. Matty refuses to put the one in our pre-op quiet numbskulls on broadcasting.
I haven't refused.
But anyway, the question was, you know, how I have some bosses who just always seem to know the right answer off the top of their head. I'd like to know how a manager gets to that level, and it really is a function of experience. So when you say, you know, it came back from World War II with, you know, I forget exactly which word you use, but the attitude, the experience, something of a 35-year-old.
Right.
They had seen so much, and seen it, you know, in the backdrop of different cultures while they were at it. That yes, they had a much much more mature perspective. Now that's still not a substitute for experience.
No,
too.
But my stepfather said he was there really young. He was supposed to go overseas to say that the day the second bomb got dropped, and he never went. But he said you learn how to work together with people you don't necessarily like, because you have to, and you know, you all know the goal is dependent on it.
Yep, I think that's a really strong perspective on it. I think that's true. And I think the other thing is you do learn to make decisions in real time.
Yes. Yourself and for other people, and pretty darn fast.
That's important, too.
Yeah, and I think, I Audrey's dad, who was, I've mentioned this before, he had worked on the Trans-Canada Highway. So he wasn't a CB, so he was actually drafted, or enlisted, or however he got in, but, so he was in the Army, but he was a runway guy. So he was on some of the islands that we were fighting with Japan, and when he caught the runway, if a bomb landed on the runway, you know, I'm sure he had a gun, but him and his guys ran out and fixed the runway. But they were not sent out into the jungle to do fighting. Their job was the runway, or if people came at them, then they had to shoot back, obviously, because nobody didn't have a gun. But he was dropped off in the Aleutian Islands because they were going to put a runway up there. So it was kind of an interesting, you know, he could tell you stories about incompetency, about how they dropped people off, and a month later, like, the concrete would show up, and you know, that kind of thing. But but he said basically people were pretty organized. I mean, look what they did in 3.5 years, Kevin. I mean, it's going to take 8 years to build to redo the intersection downtown here. You try and put those two things together, and you go, wow.
You know, and think of what they did in three and a half years, and how
hold that thought, Kevin.
The capability to do it didn't exist.
SP Futures down 150. Not to mention, how far is it from San Francisco to Hawaii? That's only halfway, for God's sake. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now, right now.
now. All I know is I should be mad at one of you guys. I don't know which one, though, because somebody drove me to go to my the debt clock during the break, which always aggravates me when somebody forces me to do that. I don't know which one of you guys did. Or if I came up with something on my own, but I can't blame myself. I've got to blame one of you guys.
The little guy on your shoulder, probably.
Yeah, so SP futures down $1.50. NASDAQ futures down $1.25. Dow futures down 13. Big mover today is Federal Express down $6.60. It's like, wait a minute. It's down $12. It's 6.8%. My percentage and my number's down. They basically said the whole world's slowing down. I'm not so sure that's a good... good thing, but I want to tie that together with these baseball deals when we get back a little bit here. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 151. That's 1.3%. What's the only down 9? We'll call that flat. CAC around down 10.2%. I think this DAX has to do with Deutsche Bank is showing they've got how much they're in bad shape. I don't think that's a good thing for Germany. It's especially since they let those guys buy in the last 20 years all kinds of other banks. I'm not sure why anybody does that. Let some people do that. Nikkei up 42.2%. Shanghai down 33 cents. Call that flat. Hang Seng down 145. That's 0.5%. Oil going down today for the first time in a while, although it's 58.54. Brent 67.45. That spread is almost exactly $9. RBOB 188.50. So right about the same number. And we've got gold is down 240, but silver 1300, 1304. Silver down 6 cents, 1530. That still stays in this narrow range, both of these. But gold is over 1300. It was below 1200 a while back. Matty, what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have some rainy conditions, and that's leading to some slow travel times. But first, we have a significant crash on I-80 westbound just before Wolf Road. It's a rollover, Chief, blocking the two right lanes on the westbound side of I-80, involving serious injuries, as you can imagine. So expect significant delays up to an hour right now or longer as crews work to get this situation investigated and hopefully cleared shortly. Traffic is stopped right now on the westbound side of I-80 due to this rollover crash at Wolf Road, so keep that in mind. No issues on the Dan Ryan, I-57 or the Bishop Ford, though travel times are building due to rainy, slow conditions. Stevenson and Eisenhower are affected greatly, looking at slow travel times. No accidents to report, though. Same for the Kennedy. Edens looks okay right now, although we do have a crash on the on-ramp of the Edens eastbound at Dempster Street. So that would be on the inbound Edens up near Skokie at Dempster. There's a crash that's been moved to the on-ramp. Out in the suburbs, looks like we have an accident in the western suburbs, Fairview Avenue at Maple Street. And then in the northwest, Summit Street between St. John and Dundee Avenue, there's an accident. And then down on the south side, Flossmoor Road at Cicero, there is a crash. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, rain early this morning and then turning into a mostly cloudy, cool day, a high of 45, so colder than yesterday. Right now it's rainy and 43 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 84. Right now it's mostly clear and 60. In sports, first four was underway last night in Dayton. Fairleigh Dickinson came back to beat Prairie View A&M 82-76 in the 16-seed matchup. They will play number one Gonzaga on Thursday. Belmont beat Temple in the 11-seed matchup 81-70. They'll get to take on Maryland out of the Big Ten. Loyola lost in the first round of the NIT, so their season's over. They fell to Creighton 70-61. And believe it or not, Major League Baseball regular season is underway right now. Seattle leads Oakland 9-4 in Japan. That game is in the bottom of the fifth. Chief.
Hey, I think we have somebody at the door.
I think we do.
Yeah, our man Russell is making it up.
I was going to say, somebody in a cardigan?
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, my page here has just added something to it to make me ragging about the world and economy even better. They now used to, you know, for a while, they gave you a snapshot. This is the U.S. national debt clock. And then they gave you the ability to go back and go spaces in time and go back, you know, 8 years, 4 years. Well, now they actually put the percentage change right what you're looking at. So it makes it easy to kind of compare one to the other, which is sort of interesting. But, you know, I'll get more on this one when Russell piles in. Why don't we shift gears a little bit to these, look at these baseball contracts, Kevin. And I'm not gonna you know, whether the players are good enough or not. You and Maddie know more about that than me. You know, when, I had Joe Maddon talking about war yesterday, and I'm going, Joe Maddon, I guess he knows now what wins above replacement means, but I'm sure he doesn't take much stock in it. Anyway, whether he does or he doesn't.
Well, I think he does.
He probably does, actually. There's a view of the economy that I, you know, that I have, and I think I sort of can back it up at least, you know, I won't say by dollars and cents on a piece of paper, by judgment, is that I try, and Kevin, to keep track of people who I think are in every one of the percentiles. In other words, I think I have friends at least, I don't know if I have anybody who's living under a bridge, and I don't, probably don't have anybody who's a true one percenter that I talk to regularly. But in the middle, let's say from two to nine, I pretty much know people. And you know that, and you do too, because you're out and about all the time. A lot of people don't, because they just go to work, and not just, they go to work at home and have a family, which is, you know, a massive job. But to me, the economy is very sputtering, has been since 2008. It's clearly better that people have a job if they want one. The jobs don't necessarily pay for everything you and I used to get out of a job, or our parents got out of a job when we were younger. So it's a different world. A lot of the people that are getting help from government are actually working. Even other people accuse them, everybody who gets a food stamp, as being a slough and not working. I mean, a lot of times the attitudes haven't changed, but the economy has changed. But I'm saying, I look at that, and I think that where I'm going with this, long story short, too late. When the owner, I can't think of anybody who's benefited more in the pump money into the economy world of the last 9 years than people that are asset owners. And out of all those people, I'm thinking the people who have done the best are the people who own Major League Baseball teams, because it's or Major League Sports franchises, because it's such a closed cartel. I mean, those guys, the value has to have gone up 7-8 times in the last 9 years, wouldn't you say?
I mean, it's substantial growth.
And I wonder, when they look at this Mike Trout thing, and I have no idea how long Mike Trout's going to play. I don't get to see him very much because he plays for the Angels. When I do see him, he looks like a pretty good ball player. When you put that kind of a number for that many years, I wonder if the owners, because of how good life is for them, if their view of what's going on around the rest of the place matches reality. I don't see that. Let's say it's a 12-year contract, right, or 13, doesn't matter.
I think his was 12. But
12, yep.
Right,
could be 13.
Let's say 8 or 9 years from now, on a scale of 1 to 10, even if he's Babe Ruth, he's no longer going to be a 10. He'll be a 6 or something. He'll probably still be a pretty good ball player, better than, you know, certainly deserves a start, that kind of thing. They're making a bet that the economy is going to grow so much that basically a slightly above average ball player 8 or 9 years from now is going to be worth $35 million a year. That's a serious view of the world. That's an Anthony Soriano view of the world. Alfonso. Soriano view of the world. And it didn't work out that way for the Cubs. I think Soriano did what he was supposed to do, but by the time he was in his eighth year or whatever, you're paying that guy what? I mean, look at the other guys you can get for $3 million. They're just as good. I mean, I really wonder if what's happening to the owners in their own personal wealth might be skewing their view of the future for other people. Because I don't see the people I know being able to pay $300 for a ticket 5 years from now. I don't see. I hope they do. Hope I can, that I can afford a skybox, you know, 5 years. I just don't see that kind of growth. Do you? I mean, from looking at the people I do at the various walks of life, I'm just saying.
I don't know what to make of it, because it's just monopoly money. They're living in a completely different world compared to what normal businesses have. In part because, as you said, it's cartel. That's the way it is. Nature of the business is that it's a cartel. So, you know, it's closed. There's not likely to be another league that's going to pop up and compete with MLB. So, and if it does, it's a very long haul thing, and the ability to attract talent is going to be very, very slim for a while, because they're not going to have the funds to do it. But hey, maybe it's just so profitable, because we've never maybe it's just so profitable to have a star player like that in a competitive team that you know, that we just have no idea how profitable it is. Because when you start to think about it, think about what we know about the Cubs. We know what their gate receipts are. You know, we know some things about the MLB TV contract, and we know some things about you know, some of the radio. But then you start getting into television rights and merchandising, and you know, all of the things associated with it. That there's so much more in there. I don't think we can fathom, you know, what kind of revenue is associated with that sport.
Kevin, I'm sensing a huge disaster here, that our man Russell might have been out of town so long that a moth might have gotten into his cardigan drawer because he's in a suit coat.
I am in a suit coat.
Ooh.
Those damn moths.
It's purple.
Yeah, tweet that out. Get a picture and tweet that out.
Purple. Was this moth raw? Or what kind
of... It's time of year to put away the sweaters. It's above 40 in Chicago.
Well, that's sort of the truth. You know what, Kevin? I don't know that we know sort of the road. A little birdie, not that, you know, I can name names or anything, tells me that there's some seats behind prime seats at Wrigley that are held out every game, and three or four corporations sort of have their finger on them, that when they call and absolutely need them at the last minute, they're like regular seats, and they're like a grand a pop that they'll pay, just as long as they're available when they call. And I don't know how many, you know, but evidently, like, even on a day when it doesn't look like that, there might be 15, 20 of these seats there. That's, you know, that's a lot of dough for 20 seats. And I just heard that rumor, not that I can attribute it to anybody, just, you know, rumors. What do they say, whispers in the wind, murmurs in the mist, Russell?
Exactly. I'm pleading the fifth on all of
this.
Yeah,
pleading the fifth on all this.
Yeah.
No, I'm not accusing the CBOE. That's another whole deal.
It's not CBOE, but no, I'm going to sit here and be quiet as you speak.
Because you have a sense I'm right.
I know you're right. Yeah. I know for a fact you're right. I've been the beneficiary of such things, and not just in Chicago.
And I was not invited?
Well, you weren't out. You don't travel with me. Hell, you don't travel ever.
Well, that's true.
You can't ever go more than, you know, 8 hours away from where you're sitting right now.
I was just at Wembley Islands last week.
Really?
Blue Island.
Okay.
So, what Russell, we were talking about is it's in the view of the world going forward. When they pay these guys, it's not just the Trout's a great ball player, you want to give him money. Mm-hmm. It's what you think that money's going to pay a decade from now.
It's the gate, it's making a run, and then at some point pawning him off for four prospects.
Well, I mean...
It's like an option trade that you're going to leg in and out of a few times. Well, but you've got more than they have more than one intent for him, and it's not to play the full extent of his contract.
But if you're Soriano, that contract is a millstone around your neck, because 10 years from now, nobody wants to pay $30 million for an average ball player if the economy doesn't grow to a point.
Yeah,
I mean the other side of the coin, the total flip side is the Magic Johnson deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for those that are, you know, we have listeners that are young. I mean, Maddie knows about it because he's heard about it. But it was before you, right, Maddie?
The contract was. Well, I was born in '83. The contract was probably signed in the mid '80s, but I certainly don't remember it.
Well, he essentially got, when he went to the Lakers, he got $1 million a year for 25 years. Now, obviously, he wasn't going to play 25 years, but everybody said, "Oh my God, how could somebody get this kind of
jaw dropping?"
Yeah, totally jaw dropping. And yet, the growth, whoever the owner was at the time, I don't know, same guy, he was so right on growth. Basketball and all the rest of the sports just took off. This is a time when my Cubs seats were $350 in the upper deck, first row. And now they gotta be $70. If you put them in the inflation calculator, I think they'd be 20, maybe. And they're three or four times that. So, I'm gonna say, was it 3 years, Kevin? Where so many other people in basketball were paid over $1 million, that the Lakers voluntarily ripped it up because he was one of the best two or three players in the game, and he was making, what, 20th, 30th, something like that? And it only took 3 years, maybe? Four? But they made the bet on that 3 or 4 years from now, $1 million would be cheap to pay somebody, and they were absolutely correct. Now, the Cubs, when they did it with Soriano, They skunked it, right, Manny? I mean, 5 years.
I don't know. I didn't think they were that far off.
Actually. Well, there were guys
He signed an 8-year, $136 million. I mean, now, granted, year 7 and 8, he's not that great. Everyone knows that. Just like years 10, 11, 12, Trout's not going to be that great. But $17 million a year or whatever he was making wasn't that outlandish.
No, my point was, is when
so
he was...
So you said they skunked it. I don't think
they I'm saying years 6, 7, and 8, when he became an average ball player. Well, Magic Johnson could have been an average ball player and still been a bargain. I'm saying by the time, years 7 and 8, there was very little growth in the economy or really in baseball at the time. So an average outfielder at his eighth year, you could have picked up for 2.5 or 3. So he was way over market at the time is what I'm saying.
Agreed, but the idea is that in their prime, the first several years, they're below market.
Right, but you would rather have a growing economy to when they become average.
Of course you would. Yeah, you'd always rather have a growing economy.
And I'm saying they're taking a huge leap forward with this contract because they don't want to be paying... If good outfielders are still making $4 million 10 years from now, you don't want to be paying him $30 mil. Just saying.
No, definitely not.
Now,
but you're banking on, you know, 8 or 9 years of him being great again.
Yeah.
He's been the best player in the game, one of the best of all time already, and he's only 27. He still, you know, theoretically has 7 years left of his prime. You're hoping you win a World Series.
Yep.
And he's so much better than everyone else right now. And then, you know, the last handful of years, like you said, when he regresses down to being a slightly above average or even an average player, you know, you've hoped you got some bang for your buck at that point. And, yeah, and if the economy grows, then that makes it even better.
Well, I mean, if you're going to sign that kind of a contract and you're the owner, if you don't have somebody like Russell or, you know, a professor or somebody say, give me your best guess, what do you think the inflation is going to be for the next 7 years? What do you think the growth is going to be? What do you think the income is going to be? If I'm paying this guy $30 million 7 years from now, and he's now average, and now an average guy is making five, am I way out of line? And Russell or somebody, hopefully, is going to come back and say, we haven't grown squat for 5 years. It looks to me like we're going to start growing. And by the way, here's all the things I can point to. But you'll be okay. I mean, I would hope the guy at least asked the question. Or maybe they don't care. Maybe they're making so much money. I don't know. I mean, I got to believe, are the Angels part of that cable thing out there?
I don't think so.
I don't think they are either. Are they on, like, Channel 9, or are they on no cable?
Oh, I'm sure they have their contracts. We just have to go look them up.
But they're not on the one with the Dodgers where the Dodgers can't get on half the area because they want so much money. I don't believe.
Well, they might be on the same one.
Same station?
It could be. Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean... I don't really watch those teams. The only time I watch is when the Cubs are playing the Dodgers. But anyway, so we get a load of this, Russell. I wanted you on the same time as Kevin here. It was great because I was talking to some people this weekend, some potential clients, and they were talking about the economy and their investments. They're retiring and the 401k, and they're talking about how do you tell whether the economy is really doing as well as. Because people tell you it is. And I said, well, that's a good question. I mean, for some people, I think it is. For some people, it probably isn't, which is probably always the case. But I said, the basic thing is there's a lot more debt in society than there was 9 years ago. And the judgment is, and I don't know the answer, is has the debt been worth it? And they said, well, how much more are we talking about? I said, well, your debt per taxpayer is probably doubled in 9 years. It's probably 80 grand more than it was. This is just federal debt.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, then it wasn't worth it. He goes, I don't see how I'm $80,000 better off, average person is. You know, because I'm looking at the debt clock. Here's some interesting ones I'll toss out. U.S. gross domestic product since 2000, so that's whatever, 19 years ago, is up 126%, all right, which is, you know, so okay. more than doubled. U.S. total debt is up 184%. And it's not necessarily what you're looking for. But this is even better. Money supply. Guess how much, Russell?
Money supply? Tripled?
Up 206%, M2. Okay. Treasury securities.
Outstanding?
Yeah.
Maybe that one is tripled.
Up 644%.
Oh, my God.
You get a load of this one. Uh-huh. Currency and credit derivatives, credit default swaps.
Oh, my gosh.
Guess how much more?
Sell, Mortimer.
607%.
Okay, I was about to say the same as treasuries.
What the nominal value of all the credit and currency derivatives is?
$20 trillion.
632.
Trillion?
Let's see. Millions, billions, trillions, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What comes after a trillion?
Quadrillion, right?
Oh, my
crash.
God.
Crash.
Crash?
Like
Goodwood, Kevin.
All right, what's when you start making up numbers like Chief when he says babillion.
Yeah, babillion. Babillion. Well, what's 100 zeros?
A Google?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's an infinite number?
A lot.
Googleplex.
A Googleplex, okay. Yeah.
Learned it in like fourth grade.
That's not the headquarters of Google.
No, it's not the headquarters of Google. Okay. All right, Kevin, while we got you, not much time, what's your bracket? Who you like?
You know what? I haven't picked my brackets yet. I undoubtedly will pick Duke to win it all, but I haven't picked it out yet. I do need to do that today, though, because my cousin works for a Buffett company, and he doesn't follow college basketball, so foolishly he taps me to do his picks to get into the $1 million derby for the perfect bracket. Now, 2 years ago, we were out on the first game.
Well, God, whatever
noon game was that
wasn't
kicked off the tournament. We lost and we were out.
Chiefs thinking of Virginia last year. What you're about to say. Were they?
Was it last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
Well, they,
maybe it was last year that then we were out the first game. I don't remember.
No, it was
just
the first 16 to win.
Who had the noon game on Thursday? Because whatever that game was, we were out.
Well, it was something I read a statistic. Manny would know better. Was it 98% of all brackets were going the first day, right? Because of the Virginia game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And again, it was Virginia getting beat by a 16 seed, which had never happened before.
So I have a.
That's how everybody would start their bracket. Is they would move the number one seed forward at least one.
Right.
Yeah, see, and I don't think that was the one that took me out on the first game. I think it was 2 years ago, and I forget what silly game it was. It was probably an 8-9 or something like that. But you know, we were done. You know, it was like I texted him and said, "Well, enjoy the rest of the tournament with no pressure."
Well, if you're Maryland, are you worried about a team already having a game in hand, essentially, and already warmed up for the tournament, and you're still cold?
Not a lot.
Okay.
Especially when, you know, those poor teams that have to play that extra game, most of them are coming off of conference tournaments where they played two or three days in a row.
That's true, too.
Yeah. The rusty part of it.
What's Maryland's seed? Are they on the dreaded 5-12 line?
They're 6-11.
They're 11.
They're 6. 11? Yeah, Maryland's 6.
No, you can lose to 11 whether they have a game in hand or not.
Yeah.
You know, that's not preposterous, because I'd have to look and see, is that the Belmont-Temple game?
Correct, yeah. So Maryland plays Belmont.
And who won that one?
Belmont.
Handily.
Belmont has a pretty good team. They're capable of knocking somebody off. Often enough, that 11 and 12 line has someone from a major conference who just isn't great. And those teams can knock off higher seeds. Mm-hmm.
What,
I don't know if Belmont can or not.
Who's tonight? Is anybody decent in the 11 game tonight?
I'd have to go look.
Tonight,
I'm kind of immersed in.
It's a couple of 16.
I've got it. Tonight the 11 seed matchup is Arizona State, John Neal's Arizona State versus St. John's. So that's an interesting game.
Interesting game, and either of those teams it could turn around on Friday and knock somebody out. Mm-hmm. So. You know, that's the example of what I mean is, you know, can St. John's knock off a good team, or can Arizona State knock off a really good team? Yeah, they have some talent. Should they? No.
Well,
the other one's kind of interesting. It's North Carolina Central versus North Dakota State, and the North Carolina Central coach specifically said, "I don't want to play Duke, and if they win, they get to play Duke." And he said it in the when they got their bid. I don't want to play. God, help me if we have to play Duke. Well. That's getting your team fired up.
In a similar vein, somebody told me that, you know, mentioned that about the Irish women. Said, should I buy tickets to the doubleheader on I think Saturday because they're hosting? And I said, yeah, they're going to play some 16 team, and they're going to win about 110-30. No, it's, you know, it'll be boring after 10 minutes.
Duke is the overwhelming favorite, and I think everyone has them winning it all. And apparently, by percentage, it's the most overwhelming favorite since the Anthony Davis Kentucky team. which was probably, what, 7 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, that almost went undefeated. I think they had one loss during the regular season, and then they just plowed through the tournament like it was nothing. Everyone picked them, and yet no one could stop them, and that's what everyone's thinking Duke's going to do as long as Zion's healthy.
Well, the we have Russell, who's, you know, he's kind of a one percenter big shot. Are you going to one of those, what do they call those things? The, where they auction off all the teams? The,
Where you get, where everybody gets a random drawing and then, where they pull the teams out?
No, everyone gets auctioned based on,
bid on them.
Based on,
I mean, we used to do that on the floor. Well, yeah, long time ago.
I remember
ago.
That.
I can always remember Duke going for, you know, almost half the pool. I'm sure that would happen this year.
It starts
year
with
as well.
A C. What the hell is it called? It's like it's right on the tip of my tongue.
I went to a bunch of them. We talk about something else, I'll think of, but I went to one at Beverly Country Club, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is unincorporated Cook County, so I guess you can gamble there.
I think all country clubs are like being out in the ocean. They just automatically allowed to gamble.
But at any rate, as Matt said, as long as Zion's healthy, that guy is just such an incredible, incredible talent.
It's a Calcutta.
Calcutta.
Okay. Oh, Calcutta. Well, yeah. And Zion also, he plays team basketball too.
Yeah.
And you know, so he's such a difference. He's so much better than everybody else on the floor that I don't know what you do about that, because if you were to gear everything to stop him, they have enough other good players to just beat you anyway.
You know what I noticed about him though, Kevin, and I don't want to. I saw the guy play, and he's pretty darn good. You know, he does not have, and this is a gift. He has every other gift. He does not have the hands of some of the other dudes. I notice when he goes up for his stuff, he's got the ball pinned by his wrist. He's not a Kenny Hawkins, Michael Jordan, Dr. J kind of guy where the ball looked like a tennis ball in his hand.
I've noticed that too. That's funny that you bring that up. But when he dunks, he does typically hold it like against his inside of his forearm,
right?
When he dunks it, like as if he can't palm it. Now maybe he can palm it, and that's just how he does it. But his hands don't seem as big as you would think they would be.
No, for a guy.
Whereas Michael Jordan, the ball almost looked like a 16-inch softball in his hands.
Well, I actually heard some guys tell me, they didn't hear him, they were telling me that Dr. J, maybe even to this day, nobody can beat him in horse, because he's the only man that could jump up behind the backboard. His ball control was so good, he could reach around and stuff it in with his body on the other side. Nobody else could possibly make the shot but him. Like the first guy like that was what? Kenny Hawkins, Kevin? Way back we had that.
I remember Kenny Hawkins waving the ball.
He'd shove the ball toward the other guy and pull it back. I mean, no white people ever did that to anybody, right? I mean, those guys, I'm going to say Dr. J, Michael Jordan, those dudes had serious ball control. And then that's a major talent. I mean, this kid's good enough without that, but. I did know him, but he went up for the stuff. I'm like, wow, he's pinning it against
the
storm. Did
anybody see the game over the weekend when he made that pass for, 94 feet? So, 45 foot bounce pass?
Is he as big
on
as
the run?
Is he as big as LeBron?
He is.
He's 6'7 ish, so, he's in that ballpark.
Yeah,
LeBron's, 6'8?
Yeah, same weight, but probably an inch shorter, maybe 2 inches shorter.
I'm going to say he's got a little more.
But they both have the crazy vertical. They both have the size, the speed, and the athleticism. Zion, though, is a better shooter at this point than LeBron was.
I'm going to say if you put the fat gauge on him, I think LeBron's still more muscular.
Oh, he is. Yeah, Zion. And I think when Zion becomes a pro, I've said it before, I think the weight thing will go away. I think they work so hard on your body at the NBA level, whereas in college he's probably just eating candy and doing whatever he wants. But that is the one issue. LeBron never had a weight issue.
And most big players, I mean, were not able to shoot. One of the odd big players that could shoot in the old era, with Bob Lanier, was one of the few guys that you could put him on the floor now and you'd swear the guy was born for today's basketball. But how many centers could shoot? I mean, anyway, the Calcutta I went to, the pot ended up being $250,000. And I think these guys paid $60,000 for five slam a jamma, and they came within a point of losing in the first round. I can only imagine the hard. And they ended up they had to make it to the final four to break even, and they won that game. They won semifinals. They lost in the finals to somebody.
North Carolina State. Didn't they?
Valvano game. Yeah, they didn't win. So these guys, I think, got their money back plus a little, but But their heart was on their sleeve all the way through because they didn't walk through like that Kentucky team, Matty, you were talking about. Every game was kind of, God, these guys are supposed to be so much better. They made it there, but it was, but yeah, these guys pointed up like 55 grand for these guys. That was big money in 1984. Or whatever the hell that
still
was.
Still is.
Yeah,
it's
big
money.
No, I think it's still big money.
Plus, how would you want to be the guy who was holding that dough? I mean, it was all cash. Kevin, thank you very much, buddy. We'll see. When you get, if you get any really good ones in your bracket, why don't you send them this way? Because I'll be filling mine out today, too.
All right.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself. Are we on a break, Matty, or are we just hanging?
Quick break.
SP Futures up a buck and a half now. They were down a buck and a half. NASDAQ Futures up 575. Fed announcement today. See how much they're going to say nice about the market. I'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's J-O-H-N at PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Something happening here.
Welcome up, Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Russell Rhodes, Professor Russell Rhodes, Mr. Matt Weber. Are you going to ever become a professor? I call you Professor Matt Weber.
Oh,
not you, Weber.
One?
Probably not.
No, you're out?
No. That was about to be my answer for me, too, the way things have been going lately.
Okay. So what
I got to sequester. I got to lock myself in a room and play some catch-up here.
Oh, God. So, Manny, what if the girlfriend says, Manny, you're doing okay so far, you know, and I like you, I like the dog, you know, and everything, but I like the apartment, but, you know, if you were like a tenured professor, I could really like you better. What do you do?
There's a four-letter word for that, and it's next.
Yeah. There was a song written about that. Slip out the back, Jack. Don't try to be coy, Roy. Anyway, SB Futures up $1.75, NASDAQ Futures up $5.75. E-regulators hits Google with a $1.7 billion fine for blocking ad rivals. Google's down a whole buck, so I don't think they don't seem to worry about it.
Well, that's about how much off their market cap it cost them. So it's like the large banks. They just the cost of doing business is paying fines. I think that's what's going to start happening for Google and Facebook and some of the other ones like that.
God, I have so much of a different south side view of the fines on the big fines on those banks.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Obama administration gave them so much money to recapitalize instead of having to go out and get it the old-fashioned way, like get it from other people. They essentially let them recapitalize on the backs of every saver and every depositor.
Yeah.
Which, to me, really, to be put very blunt, really sucks. But I think they overshot the mark and said we gave them that much dough and drew some of it back through fines on stuff that, you know, nobody even knew about. I mean, and you know what? The banks never even squawked.
No, they just pay the fine. They act as if it is a cost of doing business. In fact, I can't remember the exact instance, but I think there's a CEO several years ago, probably before the market crash or before 2008, that actually said what I'm saying, that basically, you know, they're going to get fined over different things, and they're just going to kind of build that into their budget every year.
See, I think it's more sinister. I think the deal was that we'd give them free money and let them use other people's money for free. We need $7 trillion $700 billion in the bank coffers to be safe next time, and the number ran over by $200 billion. They went and got it back.
I wonder what happens. Where does that get allocated?
The fines?
Yeah,
just goes right in a general coffer.
Okay.
If it's in the Fed, I bet it stays in the Fed.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Fed did those.
So the Fed's not really a regulatory body. I don't think that's. But not in that manner.
Well, they regulate.
They don't go out and bust people and fine them, do they?
Well,
I thought it was more of a. They might investigate, but then turn it over to another agency.
Well, from
FINRA will investigate and then they turn it over. I know, but I'm just see.
FINRA is a for-profit organization, so they fine people.
So's the Fed.
Yeah, okay. Well, allegedly, isn't the top money center banks regulated by the Comptroller Concern? It's what it used to be. Yeah. Comptroller Currency. All the rest of the national banks are regulated by the Fed, and all the state-chartered banks are regulated by the FDIC.
Yeah.
Isn't that
and there? The Fed does fine banks. I got that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's early.
I don't know how big their audit team is or that kind of stuff, but so a national bank would be, whatever. You could be, the National Bank of Broadview, and you're a Fed chartered bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, if you're a state bank, then the FDIC watches you allegedly, and state regulators.
And whatever the state, one of the 50 state regulators.
But what I've noticed, and I don't want to kind of lead the witness, but I know you're kind of on this topic too. It's if you're a real stickler for competition, like I really am, but although I'll tell you what, I'm becoming a dinosaur being that way. The things you learned about competition in school, people now don't even get. I mean, and I understand that because things they encroach like roaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my day, if you gave somebody a test in economics and said, is it legal? And A, should be somebody be allowed, meaning it's illegal. Should it be legal for General Motors to give 0% financing? Well, I'm going to say the answer is absolutely not. Right?
But that's competitive. But, well,
Well, I mean, it's
you know, so they do 0% financing, but they make it up on the price of the car. Or you can go in and negotiate the price down a little bit and do your own financing.
Well, but I'm saying, the operative, if you follow it through,
mm-hmm.
it's a financing kickback. The General Motors, the car maker, only gives to General Motors the financer. And that is absolutely against the Clayton Act.
You think it's okay?
It should be 0% financing or $5,000 rebate to the financer of your choice.
Okay.
And so you should be able to take that $5,000, walk into Lakeside, and say, "Well, gee, Russell, you're a good client. I'll tell you what. I'll give you the financing at zero, and I'll give you $1,000 back."
Because
mm-hmm. that way it would be competitive, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's not. You're the only person who's going to get the kickback, for lack of a better term, is GMAC.
Okay.
And that's essentially what they're talking about with Google here. They are a search engine which people are using and they're actually favoring their own people that pay them for advertising, which should be a separate business.
Yeah.
But yet, I don't think people today, since they only see these big mega companies, I don't think they realize that when one favors the other is, I mean, it started in when the movie theaters, when the movie producers started buying theaters, and they would only give the good movies to their theaters.
You could, that's why a lot of old theaters are named after old, and especially second tier cities are named after what were the film companies back then.
Right.
Yep.
So if you actually,
and that was, you could have thought of that as some sort of monopoly as well.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it absolutely crushed them when the economy slowed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's why a lot of those old theaters are not around anymore.
But if you were to ask a normal car buyer, well, you know, that should be illegal. Why? Why shouldn't they be able to favor their own place? Well, because mm-hmm. it's two separate businesses. It's
supposed to be two. Yeah. Yeah. It's supposed to be two different businesses.
But, I mean, we don't.
But, it's expanded beyond that. It's, you know, you get. Heck, every time I buy something on Amazon, and I know you cringe when I say I buy something on Amazon, but it's easy.
Yeah.
And I'm all over the place. It's hard for me to get to the store.
When I get to be governor, and I pull out the 100 names of people that abuse the tax part, I'm going to hate to do it, but I'm going to have to come put the cuffs on you.
Are you going to share the math?
I'll let you bring the dog in with the jail with you so you're not alone.
Yeah. Are you going to show us the math and how it's going to help everything? Our current governor, they asked him to show the math and how his tax plan was going to work, and his staff said they couldn't find the math.
I'm going to say
this guy's great.
Here's my number one rule. It's like the my one rule of economics is whenever one person cheats, other people have to pay more to make up for it.
Yes, one way or another, yes.
So if 1,000 people have managed to steal $5,000 from Amazon and taxes over the year, I've had to pay more to make up for it. That's my credo.
You don't think you're paying lower prices across the board because Amazon exists?
I don't have a problem with them. I think it's to be raising prices on or taxes on brick and mortar people when guys online aren't paying is to me is unconscionable.
No, I don't think anybody can disagree with that. That's
what do you mean? Everybody who buys from Amazon, I think it's cool.
Well, no, I'm buying an Amazon because it's my self interest to, you know.
Well, plus I'm not accusing
stuff for
I'm cheap not accusing and, you of not paying the tab. I mean, it's not like it used to be.
Yeah,
because Amazon has places here.
Yeah,
so I'm going to say if you buy a TV from Amazon, you're paying taxes.
Probably being as you always call me the 1%er, I just don't even pay attention to that.
I know it's rounding on the bottom line.
Yeah,
you know, 50, 100, whatever it takes. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the movie, 110, 220, whatever it takes, The Power?
I don't know.
That was some movie where the electrician shows up and he's wearing his air conditioner and he goes, "So, do you want like 110 or 220? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 110, yeah. It was, 220, whatever. Michael Keaton, yeah, when his wife goes back to work and he's in his bathrobe with a drill and a hat on, acting like he's doing manly stuff.
Yeah.
When Martin Mull, who's the most manly actor ever, shows up to pick up his wife in the limo and take her to work.
Huh. Yeah, it's like, but no, I mean, these, you know, I just, why, but it's a massive advantage. But I just, what would we feel like if we're sitting there in a Best Buy and see some jamoke come in, take a picture of the TV, and order on the phone while I'm standing there watching them.
Mm-hmm. I do that. I'm not as obvious about it, but I've totally walked around Best Buy, checked something out, and then, you know, not gone to Amazon, but you know, checked the price online of something. Best Buy is the showroom for Amazon.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you know,
so, I mean, I'm just,
so I haven't gone in there, taken a picture, and you know, been that obvious about it.
I'm just saying, as long as
I have the ability. You know what? I was in a micro center, and they were charging twice as much for rechargeable batteries as I could get them on Amazon, and I just put the rechargeable batteries back and ordered them on Amazon and got them the next day.
Do you find, let me ask you this.
I'm guilty.
I'm going to ask you this accusatorily.
Go ahead.
Do you find that Amazon is any cheaper than just going to the person who's selling it to you?
Going directly around?
Well, I mean, I went to for some of the stuff, I saved a lot of money in the construction work in my place by getting fasteners and stuff online. I mean, I probably...
Oh, going to... Yeah, I have done that when I used to... The first house that we had out in the burbs, I was a lot more daring with home projects. And, I would order stuff directly from, you know, the shelf manufacturer and things like that. And now that you can do that, yeah, it is cheaper.
I actually, I'm not anti-Amazon except for the tax piece.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I've gone on to say, okay, I'm just going to go online and buy something, I inevitably end up someplace else cheaper. The last time I bought my headlights, bought them at Walmart, and I got something else at Manny Moe and Jack, Pep Boys, and they weren't the cheapest. I mean, the other guys are pretty
Amazon
better.
Usually is cheaper because of the shipping's usually free.
Okay. Yeah, that's where it is. I mean, I got my Prime.
Well, actually,
you just search and find the best price, but you got to factor in shipping, and that's usually where Amazon wins.
By the way, my new Sam's card that I'm going to pay for today, I used to have the business card, which was the best card. But if you ever get the best card, you can rest assured that 3 years later, it's not the best card anymore. But now they have
you got to upgrade.
Well, now it's an Amazon Plus. So it's $120 for the first guy, and
you mean the Sam's Plus?
I mean, I'm sorry, Sam's Plus. Okay. They're all free delivery too. Right, everything.
They bring you stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what Amazon is starting to do though for their chronic delivery people? They're limiting people to 1 or 2 days a week.
I could see that. I could totally see. I should pay more attention because there's lots of Amazon stuff coming to the Rhodes household on a pretty regular basis.
Well, yeah, what they're saying is, if we want the cat litter, you want the toilet paper, we're delivering them both on Tuesday. You're not getting one on Monday, one on Tuesday.
You know what a persistent rumor in my old hometown is, which we were just talking about the stock when we were off the air, is that Amazon might take over FedEx at some point.
Interesting.
Yeah,
they don't really deliver by FedEx. They deliver by
They deliver on their own.
Yeah, no, they use UPS and they use mail a lot.
Well, they use themselves at my house. They got a guy in an Amazon van.
Well, because you're in the 1% or
whatever. Well, it's because I live in a really large city. That's why. You know, what's really cool is the Amazon locker thing that they do at some of the big tube stops. At some of the big tube stops in London, they will have like a locker system and give you a code, and you can go pick up. You can buy stuff during the day and pick it up that way that night on your way home. I mean, there must have been 50 people in one of the lines when I was over there. It was like December. It was Christmas time, so maybe that had something to do with it. But I was just like, man, that is taking off like crazy. And it makes things a lot easier for Amazon as well because they only have to put a whole lot of junk in one truck and take it to one spot.
Well, they've I don't know, you probably noticed that they've cut a deal with the post office to deliver in Saturday and Sunday.
Oh yeah, I see the post office person on Saturday.
I ordered something here for the office. I forget what it was. It was a screen or something, a computer screen. And I'm wondering, where the hell is the computer screen? So I'm tracking the thing. You know, I've been online once or twice. I'm online. I'm tracking the thing.
You've used the intro web?
Yeah, they intro have web for dummies. Uh-huh. So they dropped the thing off at the post office that I could see from my window.
Right? Uh-huh.
Guess where they sent it?
Here?
No, it was Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Okay.
My screen was a block away, and now it's in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Well, yeah.
It's on a road trip.
It's on a road trip. Yeah. You came back like 2 years later, back to the same facility.
When you finally get it, you can name it Tommy Boy.
Yeah. It was Old Bearable, Wisconsin, the home of the circus, right?
Yeah.
Without elephants, no.
No animals.
So, anywho, they've got this, but Europe is taking this a little bit more seriously than
they are.
Than we are, and, but I don't think it's going to change much, because I don't...
No, I think it's, I mean, that really is not the biggest fine in the world for a company the size of Google.
No. But, I mean, unless somebody else...
And like you said, the stock's right at, last I saw it was right at 1,200, down 0.2%.
Yeah, it's 11.97. It closed at 11.99 or something. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's down almost $2.
You know, the constant breakup talk of all of these really big companies kind of worries me a bit, because I feel like that. You know, I understand that they've accumulated an awful lot of power, but at the same time, you know, the government deciding that you're too much of a winner and we've got to scale you down, that starts to I feel like that's an encroachment of power of the government.
If you use your, I'm going to try and split hairs here.
Uh huh.
I don't think I want to go out tomorrow and let's say just break up the drug companies.
Yeah.
But we allowed them to get together, and first of all, to back up here, I'm getting, you know, like George Stigler. I always wanted to shoot because he would do it. I'm going to back up and say I'm a. One of the lectures I had from Milton, not me, the class I had from Milton Friedman, somebody asked him about monopoly power, and he was a big tenet of two things. One is that businesses get to their most efficient stage, depending on the business. If you get bigger than that, you don't get more efficient, you get less.
Yeah, there's a diminishing return to anything.
Yeah, and he thought there was a diminishing return to that. Now, I'm going to say that the drug companies now, out of all the new drugs, it's not like they don't do anything. I mean, they do. They have drugs in the pipeline. They've essentially been able to make so much money off patents and so forth that they, you know, drugs that they produced, that they now, you know, I'm going to say 60% of their game is the new chairman of, and he might not be new, of Merck, or I'm just speaking basically out of my ass. The new chairman never designed a drug in his life, never was part of any of their big blockbusters that got him to this spot, and spends most of his day looking to see what other people have, seeing how expensive it is to get through the FDA, and picks other people
figure
off.
Picks
them off, says, you're not going to get through there, we'll stop you from going through there. By the way, we'll buy your place. I don't know that's efficient. Matter of fact, I think it isn't. And I would like to stop those sorts of things. You know, I mean, and I don't know how you do that. I mean, and to me, breaking up Google sounds good, but I don't see an obvious spot to break it up.
No.
I mean, what do you mean? There's nothing to split in half.
Yeah.
I would say there has to be some sort of a thing that if you pay for advertisement, there shouldn't be two levels of advertising where some people get favored and some don't. I mean, if you're actually going to be a search engine, you should be forced to be a search engine, right?
See, that's where that phrase you just used, forced to be by the government. That's what.
Well, that's probably when you let the government in there. It bugs me too.
You know, I was on a long flight recently, and they had had all the, and these are terrible movies, but a great book. They had all three of the Atlas Shrugged movies available, so I'm starting to watch them. And some of the things that the characters that are attacking business say, I almost want to create a thing online where did a certain politician say this, or is it a line from Atlas Shrugged the movie? Because they sound almost exactly the same.
Well, here's how,
and it kind of. You know, got my spidey sense going when I was listening to all that.
Does this make some sense? I mean, probably not. Please tell me, you and Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem. This is the way I thought it was, because you guys know more about this than me. When I go to search for, you know, screwdrivers, mm-hmm. I don't really have a problem with the middle of the page being my search for screwdrivers, an honest search, okay? Mm-hmm. And on the right side, where I'm smart enough to realize those are all paid ads.
Yeah.
I have zero issue with that. Okay? Now, if you start screwing with the search itself, so you start favoring people in there without telling me, now I got a problem.
Well, they tell you.
But I'm saying, in other words, I searched for, because I was doing some research for the show, I searched for low-cost credit cards. Mm-hmm. Now, none came up. Now, when I know Citigroup and all the other guys are advertising over on the right, I got no problem with that. The pop-ups, I know. But now, if they're being paid by people to suppress a lower-cost credit card in the search piece, now I got a problem with it.
I got a problem with it. Okay.
I mean, does that make sense or not?
It does. It totally does. If they're keeping the best thing away from you. Absolutely.
Because, you know, I mean, are you a search? I mean, I understand there's the advertisement. Just separate the two.
Yeah.
I mean,
I searched screwdrivers because you got a brand new computer over here. It's really nice.
I know. It's beauty, isn't it?
And basically.
By the way, it's a hot rod computer, by the way.
Very top, it says sponsored, and then has some companies that don't pay sponsorship for here, so I'm not going to name them. And then, you know, then it goes down to the regular search. But it tells you in really light gray, which I bet my dad wouldn't be able to read, that these are sponsored.
I have no problem with that. But as long as you don't mess with the search itself.
Mm-hmm.
But is that fair, Maddie, or not? I mean, is there an old guy talking? Just don't tell me there's no low-cost credit cards when they are, because the other guys are paying you to tell me that. Right?
I would agree.
Say yes and break.
Yes. S&P Futures up a buck and a half. The S&P Futures up 6. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, Nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends, that's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right
now, right now. Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. Russell and I are just having mental flashbacks of talking about your girlfriend AOC, Manny. SP futures up 75 cents, NASDAQ futures up 550. We've got the, I don't know where the hell, Dow's up.
I'm a big fan of hers, by the way. I don't actually listen to anything she says, but I'm a big fan.
I've watched that video multiple times.
We're just
like her dancing on the roof. I'm all about that.
We're just saying that
I'm not shocked.
Those districts have had, shall we say, some outspoken people before, and we were both talking about Bella Abzug, who wore the wild hats and wasn't quite as attractive. Plus, I think she was probably smarter, but anyway, who knows. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down.
I think AOC's pretty smart.
She probably is. DAX down 151, 1.3%. As they're having problems with Deutsche Bank, and maybe Russell probably can come on that better than me. FTSE's up 11.1%, CAC around down 4. And we've got over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 42. That's almost flat, 0.2%. Shanghai down 33 cents. That's flat. Hang Seng down 145.5%. We got oil down today for the first time in a while. Still over $58, though. 58.54. Brent 67.45. RBOB gas 189 still. And we've got gold is down 240. It's been up 1304. Silver 1530. Maddie, what do you got for us? Trevi Weathers. Well, I guess I should say Federal Express down on 1211. That's almost 7%. They basically said the whole world's slowing down. So they didn't give a great conference call last night, and that's why they're down. What do you got for us, Manny?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. I-80, for whatever reason, has had all kinds of issues this morning. We talked about the earlier rollover crash at Wolf Road that blocked the two right lanes for a significant portion of this morning's commute. That's finally clear, but now there's a couple of more accidents. 8094 westbound on the Indiana side, there's a crash at Grant Street that's causing all kinds of delays just across the border. And then back on the Illinois side near Joliet, there's a crash where US 30 and I-80 intersect. That's causing some delays. That earlier rollover crash at Wolf Road is apparently clear, but 8094 in both directions is a mess this morning. And you factor in the rainy conditions as well, and it's a very slow-moving situation down to the south of us. No issues on the Dan Ryan, I-57 or the Bishop Ford. Heavy traffic volumes and slow travel times, but no accidents. Same for the Stevenson and Eisenhower. Kennedy and Eden's not looking great either because of the rainy, slow conditions, but no accidents to report. There is an issue, it looks like, on the Jane Addams Tollway eastbound. Looks like just before the tri-state, some ramp restrictions. There was a minor crash on the right side of the ramp to southbound 294, so that's causing a bit of a slowdown as folks navigate around that. Off the expressways, we're looking pretty good. Just one crash to report. That's Cuba Road at Rand Road, which is US 12 in the northwestern suburbs. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, rain early and then mostly cloudy skies. Cool temps, colder than yesterday, a high of just 45. Right now it's rainy and 43 degrees downtown. First day of spring. Feels great. Not really. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 84. Right now it's mostly clear and 61. In sports, the first four play-in games in Dayton tipped off last night. It was Fairleigh Dickinson over Prairie View A&M for the 16th seed. They won 82-76, so they'll take on Gonzaga, the number one seed. Belmont beat Temple and beat them relatively easily, winning 81-70, so they'll take on sixth-seeded Maryland on Thursday. Loyola lost their first round game of the NIT, so their season's over. They finished at 20-14. They lost to Creighton in Omaha 70-61. And Major League Baseball is underway, and it's in Japan, so it's a regular season game that actually counts. And right now it's Seattle leading Oakland 9-7 with one out in the bottom of the eighth. Chief.
Russell, I was going to say, in a lot of this antitrust stuff, I'm not big on, I think you don't let people combine if you think it's a problem, because it's a lot easier to just say no at that point than it is to break somebody up. But I think in most cases, the prudent thing to do is to, as long as you make sure that other people can join the industry, that other people can't lock up people out behind them, and there's entry into it, I don't worry about it as much. What I'm talking about is, when you fly way more than I do. When was the last time? Last time I was at Dulles, I know I walked by gate after gate that had never had a plane at it, and yet they're all owned by somebody. And if you went to O'Hare, and then you and I bought a plane and said we want to fly into O'Hare, they'd say, "Oh, there's no
gates. Slot.
There's no yeah. slots either."
Yeah.
Were they all being used? Well, no, but they're owned by United.
Memphis had that issue when I was growing up, where they were a Northwest hub, and Northwest wouldn't allow other airlines into the gates, even though they weren't using them
right.
all. Same thing. Yes, that should be against the rules.
So I mean, if as long as people can enter, if they see people charging too much, mm-hmm. I don't know as big a problem with it. But if you let the guys slam the door, and this is again for Milton Friedman. I'm quoting him today. Most monopolies over time are formed by the government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
or kind of allowed by or endorsed by.
Well, I mean, you're not going to get another electric company here because the state has said Commonwealth Edison's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
The airlines in the 1930s, the Civil Air was it the CAB Civil Aeronautics Board was involved in allowing airlines to essentially come into being from mm-hmm. 1935 when 48 people used to fly commercial, to really 1970, 77, there was not one new airline, even though the airline traffic had, quintupled? More than that, but it had to be up 100 times.
And these stats might not be official, by the way.
Right, they're not.
Yeah,
but what would you say, Maddie, now that you're passenger miles flown 1976 versus 1932? I'm gonna guess it's got to be 1,000 times, right? Not one new airline.
Easily.
Not one new airline, because they always said we can handle it. We can handle it. Don't worry. We can just expand. Mm-hmm. Not one. And as a matter of fact, how many years was Southwest Air just in the state of Texas?
Well, there was a law passed that the airport that they used in Dallas was only allowed to fly within Texas and the four states that touched Texas. So you could go in and out of Arkansas, and I just know this because if you wanted to go to Texas and you lived in Memphis, you could drive the 120 miles to Little Rock and fly in and out of Little Rock and get into the Southwest system for nothing.
I'm going to say before that,
it was like $29 to fly round trip to Houston.
I'm going
to
say they were intrastate for 25 years before they could even do that.
And now, boom.
Now they can go. But the first thing was that airlines could do charters, where they could lower the price on charters. And those, this is big doings, and mm-hmm. and people think that it's not, it doesn't matter a lot to them, especially if they're 1% or 2%. But I'm going to say that in my, here I am, whatever age I am, I've been wearing contact lenses for pushing 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time there have been a new manufacturer of contact lens stuff that hit the market and doctors recommended it, within a year they were bought by somebody. And you're always left with the same two people.
So they're leaving the very expensive ones for you.
Yeah.
And you can get them for cheap online.
Well, what's cheap? I mean, instead of $10, it's $8. But I mean, I'm saying it should be $2 or $3. Even if it's a dollar difference. And I'm not, my life, I don't think, has changed much. Twice a year I buy this stuff, and mm-hmm. it costs me $2 more a bottle. Yet, if you were to add together how many people have contact lenses, it's a lot of dough.
Yeah.
Every time this happens is where somebody, if there's two on the shelf and the company buys the other, the first thing you do is you leave the old brand intact. So you think they're still the old brand. I mean, they might actually be, but now you own them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Allergan probably bought all these places, or close mm-hmm. to them. And, I've been going down the aisle and looked at them all, but there's only a couple there. I mean, Mr. Boston is not independent anymore. They originally only sold through doctors because they couldn't get shelf spaces on the shelf because the Oregon, you know, made Walgreens and somebody resist it. Finally, they made their way on the shelf. Then I think they got bought out. So, but I mean, if you look at things all over the place, you know, where the law says that every one of those things is a felony. Where you buy another company, you keep the brand, oh, by the way, you raise both of them $2. How does anybody ever know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, I mean, do you want the feds constantly chasing people down? But how do you as an individual know that one lettuce company bought the other and all you know is, God, lettuce used to be 59 cents ahead, now it's 79.
Yeah, now it's huge. Yeah.
I mean, we think that these kinds of things are wrong, that there ought to be competition, and that competition is healthy. And I believe that 100%. But we had an argument with over a couple of adult beverages. I said, name me two industries that are seriously close to perfect competition. Well, what do you mean? There's all kinds of them. All I'm asking for is two. And you know what? They had trouble. I'm going to say restaurants, bars, momentarily, and regular agriculture is still... I mean, corn and wheat and so forth is still...
And grocery stores are pretty competitive.
Okay. There's...
Well, I'm trying to think.
There's like 5 million of them, and they're all like within a penny of each other because it's so competitive.
Okay. What I'm thinking, when I'm thinking of the question from a different point of view, I'm thinking of it as, can I start up and get involved in that business?
Grocery store would be tough.
Yeah. That's the only reason I, you know, paused on that one. Because if you've got some sort of industry that's got, you know, or business that's got perfect competition or, you know, frictionless competition, I should be able to get a group of people together, put some money together, and
I think compete. I think you can easily start a grocery store.
I think so.
Is it going to blow up to, you know, the size of Kroger? I mean, that's going to take 100 years, but it could happen. But you could start a grocery store, don't you think?
Name me one.
I'm just trying to think.
There's all kinds of local grocery stores.
Did it start in the last 5 years?
In the last five?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty old industry to get into in the last 5 years. But I think
it's not a high margin industry.
Exactly.
So one of the reasons people may not get involved in it is just because you can't make any money at it.
I think Manny's on it, though, because you're on the South Side. I'll name you a few, Manny. Those guys from Pete's Produce.
Yeah.
The South Side, they do pretty well. Who's the guys out west? My favorite store, Caputo's.
Caputo's, the Italian place.
Yeah. I mean, there's...
There's a couple of there's a Polish one near me.
There's some local ones too, and then not to mention all of the Mexican ones and Korean ones and all that stuff.
But you
had all over the city.
Right, so now
there's a little Carnival Foods in Lincoln Park.
All right, now we're up to three.
But yeah, I think that. But to Russell's point, the margins are so tight that no one wants to get in that business.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the more you can personalize the stuff, the more the Caputo's and Mangiano's and those places. Mangiano's the restaurant. The more you can have the huge aisle where stuff is somewhat prepared and everything, the more money you make.
What about car dealers? There's only about a billion of those.
How many less than there used to be?
There's still a billion, so I don't know how many there used to be.
The problem with that is you got the car dealers. You've got to get an agreement with one of the manufacturers, and then you've got a population area that's all yours, kind of like the McDonald's franchise. So breaking into being a car dealer.
So maybe that doesn't count.
Yeah, there's just kind of a semi-monopoly on that. I think like a regular old niche high-end restaurant, if you can, if you're willing to put the sweat equity into
it,
make your wife and kids work for nothing, yeah.
You know, we saw out in Belvedere.
Bob's Burgers.
We saw in Belvedere of all places or somewhere out there. Long story about having... Your wonderful female to do the directions and times on a meeting. Anyway, she is the best. But what would you do, Russell, if you got someplace at like 11 o'clock and I'm like, you know what, this is a pizza place. I don't think this is a breakfast place. We're supposed to be meeting these people kind of for brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, are you sure this is the right spot? Well, it turns out it was the right spot, but we were supposed to be there at 1 o'clock, not 11.
Oh.
So we ended up driving further. It was fine. I mean, we had a nice time with her friends and... to be perfectly blunt, it's always fun to be around. I'm the easiest guy on earth. Well, let's shop for a half hour and drive further to Brockford. I don't care. I mean, as long as I'm having a good time and it's a nice day, I don't really care. I'm not one of these guys going to bitch about it too much. And things could be worse. You're driving around on a nice day, meeting a nice customer with a nice lady. So mm-hmm. Things could be worse, right? So how much can you bitch? Not very much. And but we went by a McGrath Lexus out there.
Oh yeah! Oh, you're out in my neighborhood.
Yeah, we're further west.
No,
but I mean, Matty, you wouldn't believe. You used to be able to go down on the south side. I could name you five Oldsmobile dealers that were owned by individual people. I mean, now how many places does McGrath have now? Like six?
Tons.
I mean, if you go around, I mean, you and I are not about to walk into Chevy Man and say, hey, we got $1 million, we're going to open a Chevy dealer. Maybe if there's a guy selling one in Mount Butte, South Dakota, they'll say there's one for available there. But you're not starting one on the south side or north side, I don't think. But I mean, the point is, it's for most industries have shrunk down to three or four people with their nose basically up the ass of government, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I don't think it's all that healthy, to be honest with you. But I mean, certainly, I mean, anyway.
I will say also to this conversation, we've all been talking about industries that are hundreds of years old. The industries everyone's getting into is more efficient, you know, technological industries and apps and different things like that,
mm-hmm.
where it's ultra competitive and anyone can get in and it's pretty cheap to enter and there's a pretty big return if you come up with an idea or a niche that hasn't, you know,
yeah.
been thought of yet.
Okay, but how?
And that's what people in their 20s are doing every day.
Right, when I
and
was
Chicago's booming, by the way, in that regard.
I was not in my 20s, but when the web started. And you kicked on Yahoo, which is most everybody's front page. I'm going to say you used Yahoo search. There had to be 10, 12 search engines. We'd on the screen, Maddie, you'd hit up there and it'd say search. They'd all drop down. You know, I was using a computer back then. I wasn't very good at it. And I haven't gotten much better. And I'm going to say Google was probably the horse that went over, the part of the horse that went over the fence last. They were the last one on the stack. There was Hotbot. There was, Microsoft had their own, but there are all kinds of, I can't even remember them. And then over a short period of time, there's one, basically. I mean, there's purists that will use, what's the other one? What's the one that Kevin uses? I mean, but you really gotta look for them. How many people do you know, use anything other than Google? I don't.
As their search engine or as their browser?
As their search engine.
Yeah, not many. That they've definitely, separated themselves.
And try and, use your, I don't know what's with my one at home versus this one. I can't turn my one at home on. I can't go from page to page.
What's your point on this, by the way?
I'm saying that Google has used, if I'm using them as a search, every page they pop up, you sure you don't want to use Google Chrome? It's way better than the crap you're using. Okay, that to me is an abomination. I'm using your search engine, lay off. You know, you're using one product to sell another. And that's been essentially illegal by trust, antitrust stuff forever. It's like using the fact that you have the car to sell your bank for the financing. That's a separate industry. You shouldn't put the two together like that. I mean, I know I'm a dinosaur when I talk like that.
But we were talking about designing apps.
Well, you were saying how you can get in the business, and I'm saying...
Very easily,
but
yes.
But that business, it's the search engine, that whole thing seemed like everybody could get in 20 years ago, and now there's one. I'm saying the apps you're talking about, yes. But now, 10 years from now, are any of those people going to be left?
How many millionaires and billionaires along the way, though, were made because they were bought by Google?
I mean,
you can still start your own thing.
Well, but then the question comes down: at what point do you say you got to stop buying people?
Well, that's a different conversation.
Well, no, it's the same.
It's the same, but
there's an antitrust act around that.
Yeah,
that's never enforced.
It's never enforced,
and it used to be a really easy formula. But
yeah,
I think with the advent of technology, it's a little bit more.
Like I said, yeah. Manny, I'm all for Google being the wrong size. I don't. I couldn't begin to tell you where to split them in half. Back in the day, IBM was too big, and it was always everybody's thought was you'd split them in half. Well, no, how do you split IBM in half? Well, now I don't know how you would, but in those days, you realize, Manny, you learn something whenever you come in. There was the computer section, and there was the business equipment section, right, Russell?
Yeah.
Maddie, you believe that as late as 1980, the business equipment, Reed typewriter, section of IBM was bigger than the computer side. It's hard to even imagine, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That side, they did more in business equipment than they did in computers.
Well, in my industry, in the payments industry, we've had two of the most explosive acquisitions, really, of the last probably 5 years. And that was First Data was acquired for $22 billion a month ago. And then this week, WorldPay was acquired for $34 billion. And these are huge financial institutions that operate in the background. And basically, every single payment transaction that happens in the world, they make money off of.
But are you saying that we're down to too little, too few?
And now, WorldPay, who I've done business with for a long time, and who over the last 5 years has acquired like 10 or 15 smaller little payment providers, now just got acquired by FIS for $34 billion. First Data, same thing, just got acquired, and we're essentially on our way down to just two of those, which is going to be interesting.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, but then once you get there, and you look at it and go, wow, how did that happen? It's kind of too late. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, here's a simple principle that I sort of have, and Russell is a professor, grade me here, my friend. If there's a hamburger joint, a hot dog joint, or one of these data processing places that Maddie's talking about, which I wish I knew more about because he does and I don't, but he's been teaching me a little bit at a time.
They're the ones that have all the money and no one knows they operate in the background.
But if Russell all of a sudden win four lotteries and you say, I want to buy one of these places, or you want to buy Joe's hamburger stand, or you want to buy Jane's hot dog stand, I'm all for it. That's free capital. This is supposedly a free society, although we're making it less and less. I don't have any problem with that. But when there's two hamburger joints in town, one's Joe's and one's Jim's, and Jim decides to pay for Joe's, he's always going to be able to outbid you guys because now he has pricing power.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not as concerned if anybody else is free to walk into town and open up a hamburger stand, and maybe there is, but if now this guy all of a sudden, if he has a zoning guy in his pocket or he has something this, something that, it starts to get a little dicey. But now you're talking about an industry, Maddie. By the time anybody even realizes it's a problem, it's a big problem. Right? I mean, should there only be Visa? When credit cards started, every bank had their own processing group, didn't they, Russell?
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Old bank.
Now there's only five credit cards.
Yeah.
I know people that, you know where Kathy works over on the Northern Trust building over on Canal?
Yeah, the one south of the post office. That's what it was there for.
Well, I think that's the same building that used to run the First National Bank of Chicago Visa card processing. Mm-hmm. And Continental was over on, they were on some street over there too, weren't they? I'm going to say Harris, Continental, First National Bank. I don't know if they went further down the chain. All had their own Visa cards. First National Bank, Evergreen Park, had their own Visa card. They processed it themselves for a little while. And then somebody said, hey, this processing. Now we're down to two places. I'm going to say two's not enough. You know, I guess you could throw Discovery in there and say American Express is sort of in there. But I'm going to say it's not enough. But, you know, should we have stopped it at five or four or three? How the hell is anybody smart enough to do that in every industry?
By the way, Kevin writes in and says he uses startpage.com for his search engine. It's easy to make it the default in any browser.
And what do they find better? They find you better porn or what?
Hey.
Just saying.
Going to be helpful.
Yes.
So, I use DuckDuckGo.
Is that another one?
It is another one.
We've heard a lot of listeners have sent us information on DuckDuckGo. A lot of people
like it. They like it?
Yeah. Yeah, because if I Google myself, the first 20 things are me.
Well, I also think that people...
Because I don't pay for it.
Well, people do it to themselves.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I have my industry in mind. One of the major reasons why I can think the execution in my industry is now that the stools are preferencing payment for order flow, basically kickbacks and cheating. But the reason why it got there is because people don't want to pay commissions.
Yeah.
They don't realize that they're being hosed on the other end.
Exactly.
And you can't talk them into it. But now, right now, when the internet first came out, I didn't know any better. I went online, I looked for an email box, and they said it's $20 a year. I said, fine. And I had a private email box, it was $20 a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why shouldn't you pay $20 a year for a secure
for
email
like
place?
Yeah.
Why do I have to do it through Google or somebody else? Because people, I'm not paying $20. It's free from Google. It might be free, but it's not free.
They're valueizing your information.
Right.
That's the whole thing with people complaining about Facebook. You're signing up for a free service that you use every day. I mean, what do you think? They're getting something out of it. What do you think they're doing?
Well, our buddy Bill Murphy, man, you know, and he says people would never put a chip in their back like a dog. when they carry their phone around, they've done just the same thing.
Yeah. Or in your PC when you're allowing Google to see every single thing that you do.
Bill told me a story about these three guys that were, and I don't think they were his clients, but about these three guys who were stealing, they're smuggling guns using essentially railroad cars on the south side, that they're coming in a railroad car, and they somehow they find out about it, and they're busting into their car and stealing the guns, right?
Okay.
It's three guys down there busting the car. They all got their cell phones in, and they all send a text. They triangulated and found all three guys right at the... He had the goods out of right by the railroad car. He goes, how stupid are these guys to not leave the phone in the car off when you're going to steal something? But people don't even know. He goes, you might as well have a tag in your chest. SP Futures down 275. NASDAQ Futures down 4.25. Fed decision today. I'll tell you all about it tomorrow. Stocks and Jocks. Thank you, Russell. Thank you, Maddie. Be back tomorrow.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.